Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Tax Bites with Poonam. Today, we have a very special guest in the studio. He's a well-known name, not only in Dallas, Texas, but also all around the world. He was born March 3rd, 1990, and is an American professional boxer by profession. He's a former unified champion in the welterweight division, having held the World Boxing Association, World Boxing Council, and International Boxing Federation titles between 2017 and 2023. As an amateur in the welterweight division, he won three consecutive United States national championships and represented the USA at the 2012 Olympics, where he reached the quarterfinals. In 2015, he was also named the Prospect of the Year by ESPN. His other names are The Truth, that's how he's fondly called. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Errol Spence Jr.
Thank you. Beautiful introduction.
Thank you, Errol. Thank you. Welcome to our show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So, Errol, tell me, so where did you grow up?
I grew up in DeSoto.
Okay.
Cedar Hill in DeSoto.
Okay. So tell me about your initial childhood years. How was growing up here? Did you want to be here in Texas, or like how was growing up in the initial childhood years?
I definitely wanted to be here in Texas. I was born in New York, and my mother and father decided to move to Texas for because it was more opportunity, you know, for far as jobs and you know, just the cost of living.
Okay.
It's super high in New York, so we moved to Dallas first, Pleasant Grove. I stayed there till I was in the second grade, and then we moved to Cedar Hill, then to DeSoto. And growing up, it was fun. It was I played sports. I played every sport. They kept me in sports because I was a high energy kid. And like the old sayings go, you know, idle time is the devil's playground. So my parents didn't want me just laying around doing nothing. So I was always in some type of activity.
Right.
Always in sports, always at the park, always playing just to keep my mind active.
Right, right. So when did you first realize that you really wanted to do boxing, that this is something that you want to pursue as a career?
Well, I first realized probably when I was 16 or 17, mm-hmm. when I came to a realization that I wasn't going to college.
Okay. So was your parents always supporting you in that way, that, or did they really want you to study and, you know, go to college, or were they on board with you doing this?
My dad was on board, of course, you know,
right.
how fathers are, but my mom, she wanted me to go to school and then go to college and things like that. But that wasn't in the plans for me.
Okay. And while reading about you online, you know, Wikipedia and all that, I was reading that your father was a boxing fan.
Oh yeah,
he was.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was a boxing fan. He's from Jamaica.
Okay.
So they used to watch boxing on the not watch. They used to listen to boxing on the radio. Mm-hmm. Then when he came to America, when he was probably like 15. That's when, you know, they bought a TV and he started watching it on TV.
Right.
But he always been a boxing fan. I grew up watching boxing with him. We used to go to the barbershop in Pleasant Grove.
Okay.
And, you know, watch all of Mike Tyson and, you know, the heavyweight fights.
So when you decided that you want to do this, he must be very happy.
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, definitely happy.
Yeah. Okay. And I know we always talk about, you know, the good and the highs of this profession. I'm sure there are lows as well.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you feel about, you know, how did you handle your highs and lows while being in this profession?
At first, I don't think I handled it well or handled it, you know, as I should, you know, especially
in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning, definitely in the beginning, because, you know, I think at some point, not all people, most people, they get, you know, you get so high and you get to a certain status.
Right.
And you kind of your feet, you know, gets off, you get off the ground and, you know, certain things happen, you know, whether it's tragic or, you know, life threatening to you.
Right.
To where, you know, it basically puts your feet back down on the ground and, you know, you realize that, you know, death is around the corner and things could happen to deter you or mess up your career or you know, bring you back to, you know, to humbleness. Right. And I think, you know, that's what happened to me. You know, I was just so high and living on a high, and just, you know, that stardom and fame at a young age.
Yes.
And then once it got knocked down, and then, you know, I was just trying to pick myself up, and then I realized it was my family who was around me that was picking me up, and that was, and I just got closer with them, and just started, you know, confiding in them and just being in them around all the time, because it was at some point where I kind of pushed back from them and wasn't with them as I should.
Right. And that's when you realize that that's your support system.
Definitely.
Those are your real people.
Definitely. They're going to be with me, you know, whether I got money or fame or not, you know, they would, you know, EJ.
Correct. And they'll always be with you.
Definitely.
And that's an excellent point, being, you know, young and having all that fame, and sometimes it kind of gets you off the ground.
Yeah.
So I also read about your accident in 2019 when, you know, in the car, and then you were, I think, not back in action until after a year.
Yeah.
So how did you, what motivated you at that time? Did you, like, what motivated you to come back, and how did you handle that period of your time?
What motivated me to come back was a lot of people on social media said, if I come back, I'll be a shell of myself. If he comes back, you know, he's probably not gonna come back. He's damaged. And one of my close business partners actually told me that, you know, maybe I should, you know, go back to college after my accident. Mm-hmm. So that kind of put a fire under me too, no, I don't think, you know, people believe in me, like I believe in myself, they don't think I'm gonna come back. So I just, you know, use it all as fuel. Some people can use it all and be not motivated and be like, and let that knock them down.
But correct.
For me, I use it as fuel. I use it as motivation. Mm-hmm. I use it to grind harder and just, you know, stay dedicated. And that's what I did, because at first, you know, I was undisciplined, you know, doing the wrong things and not living the life I should have lived, you know. And then after the accident, I had to, you know, get right to be right. So, and that's what happened. I got right and came back like a year and change later, where people was like, I think he needed to tune up. He's not ready. And I fought an ex-world champion, Danny Garcia, coming back, you know, off a car accident.
Nice. Very nice. So you're a family man.
Yep.
You have three kids. So do you feel that they understand you being in a public eye now, or are they too young?
They kind of understand. Like sometimes, like my oldest, she was like, Daddy, why are they taking pictures with you? Or Daddy, this and that. But I don't think, like, sometimes they say, my daddy famous, or my daddy this, my daddy that.
Right.
And then other times they don't really care. But what I like about them is, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm just daddy.
Right.
You know, I'm not, you know, the truth or the big fish.
Right.
And they do call me big fish sometimes.
They do?
Yeah, they do call me the big fish sometimes. But to them, I'm their father to them. That's all they see me as. They don't see me as, you know,
right,
Earl the Truth Spence Jr. They see me as, you know, daddy.
Right. And do you think it's difficult to balance your personal and professional life sometimes? You think it takes away the time and, you know, being in a relationship versus doing this? And do you think it kind of takes away from the personal life? Have you felt that way?
Oh, definitely. It definitely takes away from the personal life, because any job you do, especially sports, is, you know, it's a grind.
Right.
I mean, that's why people say sports is basically a young man sport, because, I mean, older guys that have families, they have, you know, other obligations, so they're not putting it all into the sport. And then with me, I was trying to bring, you know, my kids along. I have a training camp, and then I go to Vegas, and I try to bring. Well, I didn't try. I did. I brought my son,
okay,
you know, with me to training camp. And I always have my kids in training camp with me. And even, you know, my coach might, you know, might say something, or people might say something, you don't need your kids with you. I always wanted to have my kids with me just so
they know.
Yeah, just so they know. Because you have guys like, you know, Ali, Frazier, all these, you know, great, great boxers. Mm-hmm. But their kids don't know what they done or anything unless they hear it from somebody else. They wasn't there firsthand to witness, you know, what their dad did in training camp or just being around their dad all the time. Because their dad was always working and grinding away in training camps for 10, 12 weeks. But with me, I like to bring my kids around, the gym, come to the gym every day. All my kids grew up in the gym. So they see firsthand my grind. So Nobody else will have to tell them,
yes,
oh man, your dad was great. Your dad did this. They know because they was there firsthand basis and they seen it, you know, develop.
Right. So if you were to look back right now with all that have been done and you're here, do you feel satisfied with your career? Do you feel you have come to the point where it's like, if you look back and say, okay, yeah, I guess I've done, you know, do you feel that way or do you feel that I have a long way to go?
No, I don't think I have a long way to go because, I always wanted to retire on my own terms. Mm-hmm. And, it's sad to say, but it's a lot of boxers that, you know, I look up to and, you know, idolize that, you know, that never finished boxing. They had great careers, had longevity in sport, but, you know, they retired with no money.
Right.
You know, they went to the Hall of Fame, but, you know, they're broke.
Right.
You know, so I always wanted to be the guy that, you know, get out the game. Don't let the game use me up. And, don't take everything from me where I don't have anything left for my kids or for my family.
Correct.
You know, and for myself. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, when it's my time to lead the game, you know, I'm going to lead the game on my own terms and just leave. Even if I do have something left, you know, I don't want to leave, you know, everything there.
Right.
Especially, you know, my brain cells.
Yes. And I can vouch for that because, you know, when you first came on board with my services, with my client, and you were so humble and I didn't even realize who you were until maybe a year passed by because you did not had any ears around you or you did not came across as somebody who is famous or in a public eye. So I can vouch that you're very grounded. So I guess that's great.
Thank you.
I guess, yeah. That's great. I met your mom, your kids. I think they're all wonderful people. I really like that. So just to on the last question. So, so do you think, would you want your kids to follow your path? Or is that?
No.
No?
Okay. It's not even, not even a question. Like I would want them to learn how to defend themselves, but I feel like I did all the damage to myself for them to, you know, be whatever they want to be other than box. You know, I would love them to play, you know, soccer or do other different things, but boxing, I don't think it's for them. Boxing is taxing. I think it's a poor man's sport. You got to have some grit about you and just, you know, have something in you. And I feel like, you know, they live a great life. And I don't see any, you know, privileged kids, you know, in boxing become, you know, world champion boxers. Because it's a lot of boxers in here, but it's only a few. It's probably less than 1% who really make, you know, real money or who not getting robbed by their manager, promoter, or coach or something like that. So, you know, it's something I don't want to be. It's taxing on the body, on the brain, and, you know, just everything. So I'd rather them do something else, become a neuroscientist or something. Just something other than, you know, boxing.
Right. And then you never know. They're watching you right now, and it's all up to them as they grow up, even if they, obviously, you'll respect their decision, whatever they want to be, right?
Yeah.
And your job would be just to guide them. As your father was there for you. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not good. I'll tell them that. Like, okay. Nah, it's not in you.
Right. But I'm sure your dad is proud of you.
Oh, yeah. My dad, My dad is super proud of me.
Right. Right. It's very nice. Very nice.
I call him my shadow.
Yeah.
Because he's just like me, but he really don't say nothing. Like, he don't say nothing. Like, he always around me, but he don't even do interviews. He don't talk. He doesn't do nothing. He's just looking out for my best interests, always behind me, always watching people around me. So that's why I call him my shadow, because he's always behind me and he's always by my side.
Mm-hmm. And your mom both.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. All right. So here we wrap up. Thank you so much, Errol.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming to my show. It was nice having you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, so that was Errol Spence. He talked about his life, his career, and it was a pleasure watching him talk. So since he's a sports person, I thought maybe the next segment I can do something about, you know, tax deductions for athletes, for sports people who are always on the go. Most of my clients, with Errol being my client and the other people as well, what I've seen is that they try to kind of struggle with what deductions they can take when they're on the go. So mostly I would recommend making an LLC, whether that could be a disregarded entity, a single member LLC, or being an S corp, but they are able to take certain deductions and maybe keep a tab on it, because sometimes we feel that this is not a deduction, but I guess it is. So I would just go through a list of things that you, being a spokesperson, should be careful about, and maybe make a list of it and keep journal or something that could be tax deductible for you. So first of all, an agent fee. So anybody who is a sports person and is in the public eye, he or she would always have an agent that is making contracts for them, or maybe, you know, having an ads done or any kind of other stuff where they are putting, you know, agency out there for you to get the contract. So for that, whatever fee that you pay that agency or an agent, that is deductible. So you would want to make sure that you're doing that transaction on your business account, or even if you're doing a check or any other kind of a payment, you want to make sure that you keep a tab of that. The second is the business meals. You know, you're having a meeting with that federation or any kind of council or association that you're signing the contract with, and you're paying for it, or even when you're going out and having a meeting with discussing business, that is also a business meal, and that could actually be 100% deductible. Now, I'm talking about either an S corp or a Schedule C. If it's a Schedule C meaning, you know, the disregarded entity, a part of your 1040, a personal tax return, that is reported on Schedule C, Box 24B. Now, let me go back to the agent fee. That would be reported on Schedule C, Box 10. Schedule C is the profit and loss in the 1040. The third deduction could be your car insurance and registration. If you are on the go, obviously you're using the car more so, mostly for business, for the sports people. So you might would want to create an LLC, maybe buy that under the LLC. And if it's a high-end vehicle and the gross weight is more than 6,000 pounds, then you can actually deduct that first year 80% of that value. And then you can also have the insurance and the registration of that car being deductible as well on Schedule C, Box 15. Maintenance of the car, you'll have an oil change, or you'll have, if you're on the go, obviously there'll be a lot of maintenance on the car. That also is deductible on Schedule C, Box 9. Now, I talked about the car purchase and depreciation a little bit ahead of me, but let me discuss this further. So if you have an LLC and you're an athlete, you would want to maybe, you're buying a high-end vehicle, or you want to just indulge a little bit, then that car, if it's a business vehicle and it's more than, you know, 6,000 pounds gross weight, then that can be depreciated in that first year. And that could also be an 80% depreciation on the Schedule C, Box 9. Dues and fee. So membership dues and fees of any professional sports organization that you're linked with, that is deductible, that you could put on Schedule C, Box 10. Now, lots of the athletes, they have to have some kind of a system built in the house. You know, then, for example, when we talked about Errol, and he has his gym where he says that, you know, he has his family with him, his kids watch him doing it firsthand. So he has this training gym built up where he practices, because you really want to have that system at home, because, you know, and before the matches, you really want to be practicing hard, and it's really hard going back and forth outside, coming back. So you have to have that facility established inside the house. Now that is 100% deductible because you're making something, and you can actually do a cost segregation on it because you're building something from scratch. You're putting in all the, you know, all so it's kind of a segment where you're putting inside the house with everything from scratch. So that could be a huge depreciation portion of it that can be deductible along with any furniture, any gym equipment, anything that you buy out there that is a, that you can report on Schedule C, Box 18. Now we talked about the business meals while, now the next one is a meals while traveling. So when you travel in between, if you stop by, you have some meals, are those deductible? Yes, definitely they are. So you gotta make sure that maybe you have a business credit card that you're using so that you can keep a good tab of it. If you're using a personal credit card, then you'll have to make sure while, you know, giving your documents to a CPA, then you're able to say, these are my business bills while I was going to play the match or in between, or the travel tickets and all that is also deductible. Parking fees, yes. If you're driving by car and you're parking anywhere, or if you're going to the airport and you parked your car in the airport, whatever the dues that you pay, that is also deductible. Schedule C, Box 27A. Again, I'm just talking about an LLC where it's a single member LLC, a disregarded entity. Power bill, like if you have a gym at home, you're using your home utilities, electricity and all. So the portion, the square footage of the gym inside the total square footage of your house, you should be able to deduct that based on the square footage. So the power bill, which includes, you know, electricity, water, if you have all the utilities all together, would be deductible based on the square footage of that specific gym. And those expenses are reported on the business use of home, Form 8829, that is also part of Schedule C underneath where you have the net profit. Property insurance, home office or a training facility that we're talking about, if you have the insurance on that, that also is deductible, again, on the business use of home, a Form 8829. Any repairs done on the house. So if you have the training gym or any other facility that where you're training, you have the repairs there, or even throughout the whole house, you're able to deduct the square footage of that particular training towards that whole repairs that you did. So that is also deductible on Schedule C, Box 21. Sporting equipment. If you have bought something which you really need, boxing, for boxing or for any other stuff that is fully usable for your specific career in a profession, those are 100% deductible. Training equipment, protective gear, on any other kind of balls, bats, or anything that you need where you're practicing and strengthening your profession and going ahead and moving and doing the training. Yes, that's 100% deductible on Schedule C, Box 22. What about team uniform? Yes, it is. Cleaning the uniform, buying the uniform, laundry, getting it dry cleaned, all those expenses are deductible towards business. And they are deductible on Schedule C, Box 27A. Transportation. If you're not traveling through car, you're taking a public transportation or Uber or anything, that transportation back and forth from the training facility or where the matches are happening, that is airfare, you know, travel or anything to train, any Uber, like I said, those tickets, they are also 100% deductible on Schedule C, Box 24A. Lodging. If you are going somewhere, you have taken a flight, that flight tickets versus where you're staying at a hotel, that is also a business expense. And that is tax deductible, Schedule C, Box 24A. And then Wi-Fi bill, you know, internet, water bill, anything that is also deductible, but that's on the business use of home, which comes together as a part of a Schedule C, but it's under that Form 8829, and that is also deductible. So those were some of the tax deductions that I wanted to talk about for athletes and sports people, especially so that they can keep a good tab of it and, you know, take these expenses and give that to the CPA so they don't miss these deductions. Now, the other question that I'm always asked about is, what kind of business they should open? It should be an LLC. What kind of business structure is more favorable tax-wise? So I just wanted to touch base a little bit about that. You know, people who are starting out, they don't have a partnership going on and they always feel, okay, should I do it on my Social Security or do you think I should make an LLC? I recommend making an LLC simply because there are things that you can keep it separate. Then that way you'll have a business account and then you're able to separate that out from your personal. And also you have a federal identification number and you're doing business under that LLC and not putting all that personal stuff out there. You know, it's also for your protection legally and also help you tax-wise. So I recommend making an LLC. Now, whether that would be an S-Corp, like LLC tax as an S-Corp or LLC as a partnership, that's another thing. So if you feel that if you're starting out, it's just a startup, it's going to go slow, then I always recommend a Schedule C, a single member LLC, where you're not getting into a bigger tax bracket of a self-employment tax, then you can continue doing that for a couple of years. Once you reach to the point where you feel my business is picking up, I may need a partner, or I want to convert that to an S-Corp where I can pay myself, because being an S-Corp, you really have to give yourself a reasonable salary. So when you reach to the point where you're like, okay, you're making some money and I want to maybe pay myself and give myself a reasonable salary, then you can always convert that Schedule C, a single member LLC, to an S-Corp. And we help with that. Me, Sandhu CPAs, we do the formations of the LLCs. Also, in any one of your CPA, you can go there and they can help you filing the form 2553 and converting that single member LLC to an S-Corp. Now, if you feel that, okay, you know, I am making a lot of money or making more money than I was supposed to being on a Schedule C, a disregarded entity, but I really don't want to be an S-Corp because I don't want to pay myself a salary. And then you can actually have a partnership. If there is a partner that you want to, you know, bring him in, then you can actually do an entity classification form 8032 and convert that single member LLC to a partnership. Now, what is the difference between the single member LLC being a partnership? You avoid the self-employment tax because partnership will have a separate tax return, a 1065, and there you get a K-1, your partner gets a K-1, and then gets reported onto your personal tax return as in 1040, and that's where you pay taxes based on your tax bracket. Your partner and yours would have a separate tax bracket, and that's what you get taxed on. So you kind of miss that self-employment tax mode, which you really don't want to. If you are growing, you don't want to pay a self-employment tax on your net income. Like I said, the first couple of years being a startup is good, but then later on, you would want to be either a partnership or an S-Corp. But then at some point, we also do feel that if you are in a higher tax bracket where some sports people are, when they get into the real groove and they are, you know, getting a lot of matches done, they're winning and they're earning lots of money, then at that point, maybe you would want to form a corporation because you want to keep your personal and corporation aside. And then corporation being taxed at flat 22%, that kind of helps you out. Then you're not bringing your K-1 and getting taxed at the higher tax bracket of your personal tax return. So then corporation also becomes an option. With all that being said, you just have to make sure that you are in constant touch with your CPA and see which one is favorable for you. And also as to what, because with S-Corp and partnerships and all that, there is also a basis worksheet and a schedule. You have to make sure that how much you put in into the business, you can only take that much out and you don't go in excess of bases and capital accounts. Because at the end of the day, if you do, then the excess gets taxed at the capital gain tax rate. So just to sum it up, in order for you to understand the business structure, and also in order to see which one is favorable for you, and also with the business deductions, you all have to be on the same page, be constant touch with the CPA, always involve a professional. I, again, say always involve a professional because you might miss on some of the deductions, not because you can't take them, but because you might not be aware of it. So right now, that's all I have. And thank you so much for watching Tax Bites with Poonam. And I'll be back again next month with another episode. Thank you. Thank you, guys.